Well, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. For those who are expecting a Mother's Day sermon, think again. We're trying to finish 1 Peter. I say that jokingly. The preaching points of verses 10 and 11 may be applied to all Christians, but in a special way, mothers, it would have a special meaning to you. We are in this New Testament letter about being a traveler of the faith. We are on this earth for a temporary time, looking towards heaven, our heavenly home. And in chapter 5, he dealt with the topic of elders. He dealt primarily with the topic of suffering and spiritual warfare. And that brings us to verse 10 and verse 11, which in a sense is a recap of the entire book of 1 Peter. So guests, you get all of the New Testament letter in one sermon. Members, stay awake and pay attention, although you have heard this before. In fact, multiple times. And I want to introduce or reintroduce to you the God of all grace. So take it up with me in 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 10 and read through verse 11. This will be the primary preaching text for this morning. It says this: "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Leave those verses up there. I want to read it again. "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Peter is bringing this letter to a close. And it's almost like when a pastor says, "And I'm about to sum things up." That means you're going to get the whole sermon in just a few moments. And that's what Peter does. He says, "Let me just say one more thing before I close." And he is reiterating some familiar truths. And in fact, I want to explain it in the way that he's given you three glimpses back into this book of 1 Peter, this letter, this epistle. So what do I want you to see? Number one, I want you to see your circumstances in the proper light. So number one, I want you to see your circumstances in the proper light. It's interesting that Peter mentions suffering once again. We've talked about the issue, the theme of suffering multiple times in the preaching environment. So why does he mention it one more time? It's kind of the issue of suffering. It just kind of lingers. But what do I want you to see in your circumstances, particularly about suffering? You shouldn't be surprised about suffering. The fact that he brought it back up, don't be surprised. That's what suffering is. It just pops up or it lingers or it stays. So don't be surprised when you undergo trials. Don't be surprised when you suffer. Don't be surprised when you have spiritual warfare, you're dealing with oppression. Don't be surprised when you deal with anxieties. Don't be surprised. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. In fact, he tells us this. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Don't be surprised when it pops up. And it says, don't think it's strange. If you suffer, that means you're normal. And if I could say this, not just about Christians, but about everyone in the world, everyone suffers. No matter how social media looks, everyone suffers. You say, "Well, I'm the only one dealing with this. I'm the only one struggling." Yeah, right. The devil, and social media are liars. Let's be honest about that. Everyone suffers. That includes us Christians, as followers of God. Now, some suffering is due to you following Christ. There is some suffering, some issues in life you encounter just because you follow Jesus Christ. I was talking to a church planter in Salt Lake City, Utah. His name is Daryl, a Baptist church planter. Went to visit him. I thought Wyoming and Utah was the most beautiful place I've ever been. And I got to visit with him, and we were going to go view or tour the Temple Square. That's where the Mormon center, the tabernacle is. And I was walking with the church planter, and he says, I'm going to stay in the van, I'm going to stay in the vehicle, and I'm going to study and read. I said, Daryl, why are you doing that? He said, because they have cameras all over the facility, all over the property, and they know who I am. I said, you're not serious. He said, if I step foot on their property, they're going to have security follow me around the entire time because they know who I am. And I was talking to Daryl about the culture, the life in Salt Lake City, which is primarily Mormon, the Latter-day Saints. I said, tell me more about the issues you're facing being an outsider. He said, well, when my kids were in school, the teachers would pressure my kids to leave the Christian church. They said this, you'll be more popular if you become a Mormon. You'll have more friends, you'll get along better, you'll succeed more if you join us. What is that? That's oppression. That's conflict. That's warfare in a sense. But don't be surprised when you have some difficulty because you follow Christ. And Peter also tells us our sufferings are temporary. Now, the way we translate that Greek in this verse 10, it's the best we can do. It's very rigid, doesn't make sense if you literally translate it word for word. But what it means is a little while means shortly. We smooth that verb out, so we say, and your suffering will be this whatever. But it's really a participle saying suffering shortly or suffering temporarily. It means the stuff you're going through on this earth will be for a short duration. Your problems are temporary. Your circumstances need to be seen in the proper light. Your problems, your warfare, your oppression, your suffering, your anxiety, all of those things are temporary. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, going back to see what Peter said about all this. He said in chapter 1, in this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Your stuff is short-lived. The problems you face don't last forever. All your hardships, your trials, your suffering, your warfare, your anxiety don't last. And we've talked about this numerous times, but suffering makes you feel isolated. It makes you play the mental game against yourself. I'm all alone. I've got to handle this on myself. But you aren't alone. You have God. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. Not only do you have God, when he says in verse number 10, he says the plural sense of the verb or the pronoun. Peter says you, but he's referring to the church. So when you have the issues of this life, which are short-lived and temporary, you face them, God faces them, and we, your church, face them together. So see your circumstances in the proper light. They don't last forever. Some of the greatest struggles in your heart, you think, I'll never get over this. God's word says, you will. Back in chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So see your circumstances in the proper light. But here's something else I want you to see. Number two, see the bigger picture. Don't just gravitate to your suffering, your hardships, your anxieties, so forth. See the bigger picture. It's easy to let stressful events or struggles in life take your focus, isn't it? It's easy. But instead of focusing on your suffering, focus on God. The main idea of these verses, or what everything revolves around, is not your suffering. In verse 10, the focus is the phrase, the God of all grace. It's easy when we try to live on this earth to live for God, but then we get distracted. Because there's real things we got to handle. There's problems we got to solve. There's feelings we got to deal with. But our focus has got to be the God of all grace, not our sufferings. So oftentimes we don't see God because of our pain, because of our suffering. It's very real. But think about pain like this. This is a great book by Philip Yancey, Where's God When It Hurts? Our pain, our suffering, our struggles, all of that is meant to push us back to God, to refocus on him, our healer, our strength. And sometimes suffering or other issues we face is a lot like discipline. It's funny, I bring up discipline on Mother's Day. Think about Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father is not disciplined? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we have respected them. And shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Now listen to this. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Sometimes the suffering of this earth is discipline, God bringing us back to himself. Some of it's self-inflicted, but yet God does it for our good. Also, Romans 8 speaks to that. In the midst of your suffering, remind yourselves that God called you to be his. So no matter what you're facing on this earth, which is temporary, remind yourselves that God called you. We may not have all the answers in this life, but we have God. 1 Peter chapter 4, if we have God, we have everything. Verse 19, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. It's hard to do that. It's easy to preach, it's hard to apply. But think about Joseph in the latter part of Genesis. He was a dreamer, and his brothers hated him. He was sold into slavery, accused of crimes, and he was thrown in prison. He was suffering. The psalmist said he was chained up and left in a cave. He was suffering. And for a while, for a time, for a duration, for a temporary chronology, he suffered. But God remembered Joseph. Elevated him to the second in command of Egypt. God gave him wisdom. God gave him favor. And his brothers, who sold him into slavery, came and bowed in homage to beg for food to feed their families. And after his father died, Jacob, his brothers thought, man, we are about to get it. He's about to kill us. But Joseph saw the bigger picture. He said in Genesis chapter 50, what you have meant for evil, God has meant for good. All the stuff we go through, we can say, oh man, look at this suffering, look at this temporary stuff I'm dealing with, and we never see the bigger picture. Sometimes God has a purpose in suffering for us. We don't know it yet, and we may not know it until we get to heaven. But sometimes there's a purpose in that. You cannot let the temporary things take your focus over the eternal. In verse 10 and verse 11, there's this huge issue between what is temporary and what is eternal. And one of the things that is temporary is your sufferings. One of the things that is eternal is God. And God is calling you with his eternal glory at stake. Don't let your sufferings overtake the presence of God. Remind yourselves of this, you're a sojourner. And you can't let one leg of your journey dictate your entire path. I don't know if anybody else has been upset getting in traffic. You're planning a vacation, you want to go down to the beach, primarily the Gulf. You think, I want to go spend time with my family, I want to enjoy a lot of good food. And then you get stuck in traffic. And I don't know about anybody else, but whenever I go through traffic and it's backed up, I take it out on that city. Man, I hate Jackson, Mississippi. And I don't know if anybody else experiences that. Man, I hate Tulsa. I hate Mobile, Alabama. Won't they just fix these roads? Fix that tunnel. Come on. It's been years. And if I said, hey, I don't like the traffic. I don't like being backed up. I'm going back. I would never get to my destination. So why would we say our temporary happenings, our sufferings, our struggles, our hardships, let us dissuade ourselves from the end destination as sojourners of the faith? Man, our destination is heaven, and God has called us with his eternal purpose in mind. See the eternal glory of God even in the mundane. Even though you're suffering, even though you're struggling, even though our bodies waste away, look for God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Now listen to this. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen, listen to this, are eternal. See your circumstances in the proper light. See the bigger picture. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's go back to the main text. Verses 10 and 11. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. What's the third thing I want you to see looking back through 1 Peter? See what the Lord promises. I know this sounds like my Wednesday night Bible study, promises of the word, but it's true. See what the Lord promises. The Lord promises that he is calling us to his eternal glory in Christ. We may not have much on this earth, But we got something great awaiting us. We may not have a lot of possessions now, but we have Christ, we have salvation. So look back at the course of your life, and even you mothers, look back. Look at what he's done. 1 Peter chapter 3, if we're talking about see what the Lord has promised, see what he has done. If we have God, we have everything. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit. Don't let your suffering overshadow his suffering. What he promised to do through the cross for us. Don't ever let your momentary afflictions gravitate your focus. What's interesting in verses 10 and 11, Peter uses the same verbs until the end. So he mentions this, this, and this, but then he changes when he talks about what God is going to do for us. He uses four different words to describe God's provisions for us. And no, I'm not going to define each one. I believe it's all incorporative of one great work he is doing for us. That he has started a work in us. And he is not through until we get to heaven with him. So when you live for him, he promises to care for you. He says in those verses, he says that he is going to do this for you. He's going to restore you. He's going to confirm you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to establish you. All of these are promises of what he's going to do. I would tie this to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. When Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, a very familiar passage of scripture, it says this, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Paul says it very, very eloquently. And Peter just rattles off a list of verbs that he's going to do. And God says through Paul, I'm going to continue this work. Peter says he will do this work and bring it to completion. That means that God knows all the details of your life. Right now, currently, he knows every single thing about you. Everything you're going through, all your struggles, all your triumphs, he knows every single thing. But the way Peter writes verse 11, it's in the future active indicative. He says, he will do these things, meaning God is not like us. God is spirit. God is not bound by time, space, or the human condition of reality. So it means to me, as I interpret it, that God is already in the future because he's God. He knows what we're going to go through, and he's already handled our problems because he said, this great work I've started, I'm going to bring it to completion until you get with me. That means all the stuff you know you're going to go through, he's already dealt with. All the stuff you're dealing with now, he's handling. And as travelers of the faith, that gives us relief. All of our problems, all of our struggles are nothing compared to the glory of the God of all grace. God is prepared for all the junk in your life, and he's got you covered. And this gives us relief, this gives us joy, this gives us hope. In the history of Christianity, when Israel was exiled to Babylon, they thought, there is no hope. We're going to be in this situation forever. But the Holy Spirit of God spoke through the prophets of old, 1 Peter says. And God gave them a word on how he was going to save them, how he was going to redeem them and deliver them. It says in Jeremiah 29, to those exiled, to those that were stuck on a certain leg of the journey, he says in verse 11 through 13, for I know the plans I have for you. The same principle applies to us. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It says in verse 11 of 1 Peter 5 that his dominion is forever. And that means power, might, you could even say rule or reign. It's all him. It's the God of all grace. So let me ask you three questions. In light of verse 10 and verse 11, for you to consider about how to apply this to your life, is what you're going through right now, is it temporary or eternal? If it's temporary, you don't need to worry about it. You shouldn't struggle with it. I know we do. Is it temporary or eternal? Number two, what is God teaching me? You say, well, it's just suffering, or it's just hardship, or it's joy. There's something behind that. What is God teaching you? What is he showing you? Number three, how am I growing as a believer? Through all the difficulties of life, through this leg of the journey in particular, how are you growing? How is God shaping you into the mold of his son, Jesus? Maybe in hearing this today, you've never trusted in Christ. Maybe someone listening online has never taken that step of faith in their hearts. It's so simple. The scripture says that we have all fallen short of God's glory. We've all sinned. And because of that, we deserve death and separation from God. But God sent his son to pay our sin debt. That if we believe in him, believe that he died on the cross and rose again, if we believe that truth, we'll be made new. All we have to do is believe. It's faith. So maybe today you say, I need to trust in Christ. I need to be saved. Maybe there's other decisions after salvation you've not entertained, like baptism or membership. You say, Pastor, I did not come here to hear you preach. I came here for my mother. And that's quite all right. But I know this, our church family and extended families possess suffering, hardships, difficulties. And God wants me to remind you it's temporary. Consider the things that are eternal. See the big picture. And whatever the God of all grace is calling you to today, to make a decision, to pray, whatever it is, do that today. If I can help you with that, if I can pray with you, even after the service is over, I want to do that. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the truth, the relevancy of this. Father, we pray for those who are suffering. Lord, even on this day, those that suffer because of the occasion. Father, would you give them grace? Father, for those just dealing with difficulties or struggles, Father, give them the filling of your spirit. May you change their focus to the things that are eternal, to see your hand at work, to see the big picture. Father, if someone needs to make a decision today regarding their souls, would they consider him who suffered once for sins, that he might bring us to you? Father, for those prayers that need to be prayed, for those decisions that need to be made, may they do it now. Whether they're in person or listening online, will they take steps of faith? Father, may we never be at home on this earth. May we be unsettled, may we be restless until the day we stand before your Son. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.